The Quran has promised that if a person approaches it, meaning the Quran, with an open heart, removed of all preconceived biases and notions, that the Quran will speak to them. Perhaps more than any other book on earth today, the Quran has inspired countless people to live a life of goodness and godliness and piety. Today, we continue in our review of the topic of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, and the Quran, this being part 2 of 3. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are back with Ramadan Reflections on this, the 20th day of the month of Ramadan, as we remember the sacrifice and the life sacrifice, actually, of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, because it is in these days, 19th, the 20th, and the 21st of the month of Ramadan, that he was brutally attacked by the coward, weak Ibn Muljim. May God deal with him with his justice. That he could not fight Imam Ali man to man, face to face. And so he had to attack the commander of the faithful. As the Imam was in communion to God, and from behind he had to strike the Imam. Because he knew that if he came face to face, he could never do the slightest harm to the commander. The man who, as we are told even by non-Muslim historians, when they talk about why Imam Ali was killed, peace be upon him, one non-Muslim historian has been quoted as saying that he was killed due to the intense severity of his love to implement justice. His fairness actually got him killed. It wasn't his political intrigues, it wasn't corruption that people would accuse him of. It wasn't nepotism that the previous khulafa were very guilty of. It wasn't his debaucheries that other khulafa were very prominent in performing. No, it was his love for God, his love for the Prophet, his love for the Quran, his love for justice that saw him killed in the mosque of Kufa, that saw him attacked brutally, and saw him his eventual death on the 21st of the month of Ramadan. As we said, that the plan was to kill 3 people. One was sick, he didn't make it to the Fajr prayers. One was stabbed in the thigh and one was attacked and in the mosque of Kufa and eventually succumbed to those injuries after the poison traveled through his entire body. And that is Imam Ali, peace be upon him. But as we said, that his life is beautifully exemplified in his words, in his statements, in his sayings. And where more can we find beauty to describe the Quran than the words of Imam Ali, peace be upon him? And so in Sermon 156, which we began with yesterday, in which I mentioned that we are looking at 11 very unique and powerful descriptors of the noble Quran in the words of the Commander of the Faithful, we get to understand the role of the Quran in our lives, that this is not just a book of devotional recitation that we open in Ramadan, that we read a juz, a section every day, so that after 30 days we finish the book, we put it on the shelf and we're done with the book till the year to come. No, we need to make a sincere pledge to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, that his death was not in vain. We need to make a pledge to God that the life and the death of the Prophet were not in vain, that the Quran that they gave, that they were given, and that they preserved and protected and taught and implemented is something that we are also trying to implement in our lives today. In our previous session, we looked at 6 of the qualities or so that Imam Ali, peace be upon him, spoke about in Sermon 156 of Najul Balagha, as I mentioned, was about the Battle of Jamal and the role of Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr, Ummul Mu'mineen, as she is called. And then he broke into the talk of the Quran, because if you know the Quran, you'll know the position of Imam Ali. You will not fight him. But those who attack the Prophet, as they did, as Allah mentioned in Surah At-Tahrim, chapter 66, and insulted and mocked the Prophet, these are the same people who launched a war against the walking, talking Quran. And so how does he continue to describe the Quran? He says that in regards to the Quran, he says, وَالنَّجَاتُ الْمُتَعَلِّقُ, that the Quran is a deliverance for those who are attached to the book. When you attach yourself, it doesn't mean physically that you're carrying the book, the Quran with you, the physical or the app on your smartphone. No, it means you are attached to the meanings, to the interpretation of the Quran. How many people today memorize the Quran in the Muslim world, but yet the recitation doesn't go past their throats? They'll read the Quran, they'll memorize it, and then they'll commit sins because they're not attached to the book. They're not with the book. They are maybe physically with it, but that's no great deed. You know, anybody can download the Quran app. Any bookshop can sell the Quran. Any human being can buy the Quran. Are you going to say they're with the Quran because they bought a copy off, you know, their favorite online shopping site? No, they will not be with the Quran. They're not attached to it until they apply the teachings in the Quran into their lives. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, then says, it does not curve so as to need to be straightened. The Quran will not take you on a wild joyride and go this way and that way and this way and that way. It is straight. It gives the straight facts, the actual factual. It's not, as people say today, that this verse is out of line with today's society and so we need to revamp the Quran. These ayat are redundant about jihad or about women's rights or about this or that. So we need to change the Quran. Let's straighten it to fit with the narrative of 21st century modernity. No, it's not straight. It's not curved. We have been curved. Our societies have deviated. And when our society deviates and our hearts deviate, our minds deviate, then we see the Quran as being something that needs to come on our path. But it's the other way around. We need to be straightened by the Quran. We need to be put straight by the ayat of the Quran. Even though we may not like it, we need to bend ourselves to fit the Quran, not to bend the Quran to fit ourselves. The Imam Ali then says, it does not deflect so as to be corrected. Again, the Quran does not deviate people. It does not make people go the wrong way, that you need to now bring the Quran back to the right path. The Quran is correct, we are incorrect. The Quran is right, we are wrong. The Imam then goes on to say that the frequency of its repetition does not make it old. You know, this book has been read for 14 centuries. Every year we read the Quran. Every day we read the Quran. Maybe every 2 months or 3 months or 6 months we complete the Quran. It doesn't make it an old book. You know, you buy a fiction novel or a story book and you read it once or twice. Or you read it as a bedtime book to your children and they say, Mom, Dad, I've heard the story 50 times. Can you tell me another story now? But the Quran, no, it doesn't happen like that. When you read the Quran, the frequency of its repetition, it doesn't make it an old book that is no longer of value. The Imam then goes on to say that the book falling on ears, when people hear the book, it does not make it old as well. So neither does reading the book make it old, nor listening to the Quran doesn't make the book old. And then he says that whoever speaks according to it, man qala bihi sadaka. Whoever speaks according to it speaks the truth. Because the Quran is the truth. It comes from the true. It comes from Allah. God is all true. Whatever he says is true. If you speak with the Quran, you're truthful. And who could speak with the Quran better than Imam Ali? Peace be upon him. And then he says, and I'll end with this, waman amila bihi sabak. And whoever acts by it is forward in action. He takes precedence over others because our words and our speech need to be in line with the Quran, brothers and sisters. We can't say this and then do that. We can't say Allah says this in the Quran, but then we do something contrary to it. We have to follow the, even if we don't like the verses, quote unquote, like them, even if they are in a detriment to us, we have to like the, we have to live those verses. When the Quran says, let me end with this, that God tells us to be people who bear justice, even if it goes against your own self, your soul, your parents, your siblings, your community. I might not like that because I am attached to my family. I'm attached to myself, my community. I still need to follow the Quran. I have to act on it. I can't read a verse and then do the opposite. And unfortunately, that's the world we live in today, where people read and don't act. They read the Quran and then they don't act according to the Quran. God willing, we will continue in this theme of Imam Ali and the Quran, part 3, tomorrow on the 21st day of month of Ramadan, where we remember the martyrdom of Imam Ali and his symbiosis and his relationship with the Holy Quran. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.